You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audioboom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. The Hawks, it has come out, reported by Adrian Wojnarowski of Yahoo Sports, are looking at a former Piston to be their next general manager. And not just Joe Dumars. We already discussed Dumars' candidacy. I'm largely for it. I hope he gets it. But I also hope this other guy gets it. And that's Chauncey Billups. Billups is very well regarded for his basketball acumen. He's very personable. He has a lot of tools you'd want to see from somebody transitioning from a playing career to a coaching career or executive career. His name comes up all the time for a coach because that's probably the more common path. It's a little more front and center. So people are interested in him as a coach. He seemed like he could be a good coach. He was a point guard. He was savvy. He had all the ingredients, but he always said he didn't really want a coach. And teams have pursued him. The Magic tried to make him an assistant coach, and I don't know how hard he thought about it. And there's increasingly some overlap between the jobs. But he always wanted to be in the front office. That's what he aspired to. So I find myself rooting for him a lot. And I was just sort of curious, and I was wondering to myself, I'm going to try and talk it out a little bit. Am I rooting for Dumars or Billups if I had to pick between them? And I hope one of them gets it. Like, it'd be cool. I root for Pistons guys to do well. They represented this area so well. I'd like to see them succeed. I think it'd be good. I think the Hawks are probably hoping for David Griffin, the Cavs general manager. He's still under contract, but his contract ends July 1. I don't think they can wait it out till July 1, but maybe after the Cavaliers season. I think the most likely thing is David Griffin staying in Cleveland. That, yeah, it seems to be rocky now, and his name comes up with the Hawks. His name comes up with the Magic. But I think it's more likely that he and the Cavs have just sort of agreed to table this. And there's an assumption he'll get taken care of. Now, his definition of taken care of might not match what Dan Gilbert's definition is. So he could go loose. And that could be about money. That could be about power. It could be about some different things. And maybe he thinks he'll be gone. But I just think in the end, the Cavs are too good. They're too well put together. It's too important of a time for the franchise. Well, you have LeBron James. Well, your championship window is open, whether you win it this year or not. That you can't just cast aside Griffin. I think they've got to find a way to bring him back, but it also seems like the Hawks and Magic are waiting for him. So could Atlanta hire Billups or Dumars? Yeah, those guys, you know, there might be other names that pop up before Cleveland is done. And maybe it happens before Cleveland's season ends. Maybe there's some resolution with Griffin. But right now, those seem to be the popular names. And I find myself rooting for Billups. And I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's right because I would like either Billups or Dumars to get it. And I think most fans are going to be rooting for Billups too. The biggest difference is that Dumars stayed around for the decline and was obviously largely responsible for it. Made a lot of terrible moves, hired bad coaches, signed bad contracts, made bad draft picks. Just his overall basketball philosophy just kind of screwed it up. I don't know what we would think of Chauncey Billups if Joe Dumars didn't trade him. Because Billups went to the Nuggets in his hometown of Denver and was invigorated by that trade and played well. Now, he declined not too long after that. He had a few very nice years in Denver, but by the time he was going to the Knicks and the Clippers, like, he wasn't washed up, but he was not the player Pistons fans know and love. And I think that has so much to do with how we remember him, that he was not there for the bad years. And I'm not sure keeping him would have prevented the bad years. That team was aging, it was declining, and Billups was kind of in a rut. Like, not that he was a bad player. He was certainly better than Allen Iverson. But I'm just not sure he was still a difference maker and still motivated and energized to come play hard every day. Like, this was a team known for flipping its switch, and it kind of got to the point where they still were trying to flip the switch, but just weren't good enough to do it anymore. And fans were, I don't say they turned on Billups, but they were starting to get a little flustered by his just lethargy. And it wasn't terrible. Like, he was still a really good player. It's not like he gave no effort. It just wasn't that extra oomph when he was hungry for a championship in the earlier years. And that's hard to summon. I don't necessarily blame Billups for that. Like, you need to find your own motivations. And I think he was trying as hard as he could in that moment. But in that moment, he just couldn't try as hard. Because what was pushing him? This team has achieved so much. He had his big contract. He was a professional. He came to work. He played hard. He did the right things. But I think that trade to Denver woke him up. And a lot of fans think of, well, if the Pistons only had that Chauncey Billups. But maybe there wasn't a way they could have had that Chauncey Billups. So he's remembered so fondly as this great what if. He was the finals MVP. He had these great years here. He made Detroit his home. And then he was sent out right before things got bad. And not only is he not associated directly with the bad times, he's sort of seen as he could have been the savior. And I just don't think that's right. But that is how we view him and how we tend to feel about him. Where Dumas was there for all of it, kind of more than ran his course in Detroit. Especially in hindsight, he should have been fired sooner. He could not work with Tom Gores. Just their styles were very different. Gores didn't hire Dumars. I don't think he ever would have. He inherited Dumars and wanted to give him a chance, which was nice and noble. And I had no problem with that. But also maybe Gores and his people should have realized it wasn't going to work. Like, it just wasn't. It was too long. The 3 years were too long. Dumars got pressed into some bad moves. And that's part of the reason he's looking for a job now. So I still would be happy with either. But because of how we associate things, maybe unfairly, I definitely think somewhat unfairly, I find myself rooting for Billups. He'd be a fresh start. I'd like to see him get a new job. Dumars has done this. He had his chance. He did extremely well at it for a while, then extremely poorly for a while. Like, he's had this life experience. I just find myself rooting for Billups to do it. I don't know how good he'd be. I don't know if he's ready. You know, I'd love to have him as assistant general manager. And maybe because of his connection with Dumars, maybe you could even hire Dumars and then hire Billups as an assistant GM. Teams increasingly in GM searches and coaching searches look for their assistants at the same time. Guys get hybrid interviews where maybe if Billups blows them away or something doesn't work out, he could be the number one. But maybe it comes to like, well, look, we really want somebody established. The guy who's just the president of the team is still the coach. The guy who's just the GM is still advising ownership. We need somebody who's done this before, can command a little more credibility based on experience. So we want Dumars, but Chauncey, we'd like you as his number two. Maybe Billups would go for that. I don't think he's opposed to learning in a lesser role. That doesn't strike me as him, but I also think he might like his job at ESPN. And so he might not rush to do that, even if he's not systematically opposed. So it's an interesting situation in Atlanta. I hope one of the former Pistons gets it. I think that'd be a good thing, and we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Okay, the Cavaliers play the Celtics in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Cleveland is chasing a record. Right now, they're tied with the Pistons for second place for this record. Do you know what this record is? Longest playoff win streak. The Cavaliers have won 12 straight. They, of course, overcame a 3-1 lead in last year's finals. That's three wins. And then they swept the first two rounds. That's eight more wins this year. And they went up 1-0 on the Celtics on Wednesday in game one. And that's their 12-game playoff win streak. The record is 13 by the Lakers. That streak by the Lakers that started in the 1988 finals, when the Lakers won the final two games over the Pistons, was ended by the Pistons in the 1989 finals when the Pistons swept the Lakers. That ended a 13-game Lakers winning streak. So the Cavs are going to tie that. They're trying to tie that tonight against the Celtics. Right now, Cleveland is in a tie for second with a few teams. One of them, the Pistons. The Pistons, when they swept the Lakers, that was part of the Pistons' 12-game playoff win streak. In the conference finals, they won the final three games against the Bulls in 1989. And then they swept the Lakers Then they swept the Pacers in the first round. That was a best of five series, so that's three games for the win streak. And then in the second round, they beat the Knicks 4-1 and won the first two games of that series. I don't think those series wins over the Pacers or Knicks are really remembered as part of Pistons lore. You know, they were just nice, easy wins against teams that couldn't handle the Pistons. The Pistons, yeah, they were on their way to the title, but those weren't particularly memorable series in the way that the Pistons had some more meaningful tests in 2004, where maybe that more of that run is remembered, as even in the earlier rounds. But those were part of an impressive streak, and the Pistons are up there in the record books, and it was a cool thing. I didn't realize until I looked into this about the Cavaliers that the Pistons had this run of 12 straight playoff wins. I think that's a cool thing. In one hand, it'd be cool to see the Cavaliers break the record, break the Lakers record, because that'd be history. But I also don't necessarily want them passing the Pistons. So wherever your rooting interests lie, keep an eye on game two tonight. And you can see the Cavs try to break out of their tie with the Pistons at a 12-game playoff win streak and get into a tie with the Lakers for a 13-game playoff win streak, the longest of all time. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is David Locke, founder of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks so much for tuning in to your favorite Locked On podcast. We have something really special going on here. We are the only daily local podcast format in the country, and we are one of the only places for local companies to be able to advertise on a podcast serving the fans, the listeners that want your product locally. No other podcast network does this for you. And that's why we want you to advertise right here on your favorite Locked On podcast. Our audience is 98% male. It's about 77% between the ages of 25 and 54, and also 77% between 18 and 44. So you're hitting the core demographic. If your company wants men 25 to 54 or 18 to 44, then you should advertise right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We'd love to have you. Our rates are reasonable. It's all based on the amount of listens. So you can email me, David Locke, at dlock09@gmail.com, or contact your host. We'd love to have you aboard, joining in with the great success that we're having on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.